Love your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe and Mpakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Let's absolutely walk the talk and get some insight now on how we function, how we operate, and how to take care of ourselves. Today's conversation, our topic this morning with Khosi Jiane, is the importance of alone time. Khosi is asking, how important is it for mental health? So on that note, good morning, Khosi Jiane. I love this conversation that you brought us today.
Yeah, very interesting. I've been quite excited, waiting with anticipation for this conversation. Myself, as one who is alone, but definitely not lonely.
I love that. Khosi, let's start with exactly that. You've just said, as one who's alone, but definitely not lonely. In your, I guess, professional experience, but maybe even your personal experience, if you want to say that, how do people tend to view others that are alone, right? Whether it's you're single, you're not in a relationship. I'll give my own experience of loving to go to the movies alone. And sometimes having someone going, is everything okay? And I was like, I'm going to see a movie. I'm focused on what's on screen. I'm interested in following the story, you know, enjoying all the elements of what's unfolding before me, and that's
being
my time.
And focusing on yourself and your experience.
So how do people tend to interpret another individual being alone? I'm sure the responses are varied as well.
They are. But I think on the whole, and it's changing, and I would say, you know, it's changing over the years. If I just kind of look back on, although I'm saying it's also changing, there generally is a stigma around being alone. And part of it is understandable because we are social relational beings. The company of others is important to our relational needs. The need to belong, to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be validated by significant and socially significant others in our lives. It is part of what becomes the ingredients of our self-esteem. It is how others esteem us.
Sure.
Right? And therefore, there is an expectation in society, there is a script in society that says you're leave and create another. So there's always that conveyor belt of connection with other. And therefore there is a sense, so why aren't you married? There's those questions. Because when you're not married, it's like, who are you with? Why aren't you in a relationship? And behind that question also is a sense, is a thought that says, oh, you must be very lonely because you are not in a relationship. There you are going to a movie alone. There you are going to lunch or dinner alone. You know, there you are going on holiday alone. the societal script kind of frowned upon that. And there is a need to kind of justify that to society.
Are people uncomfortable, Khosi, with someone who's alone? And I guess we'll move into, you know, when it comes to marriage, for instance, people that you might hear, and I haven't forgotten that we're here for the purposes of alone time and its importance for mental health, right?
Sure.
And how one uses alone time constructively. But are people, why are people suspicious of single people when it's relationships? For instance, you might hear married people saying, I'm not friends, or we don't hang out with single people. Then there's also the idea that if you are, maybe perhaps especially a woman, eating alone at a restaurant, someone somewhere might send you over a drink and offer to sit down with you. I am, of course, talking pre-COVID days. Because you look lonely, or assume you must need company, despite the fact that you're happily sipping on, you know, your bubbles and eating your salad and reading your book. And your posture does not, you know, your posture doesn't suggest any any insecurity, any fear, any anxiety. You're relaxed. You're taking up space and cementing yourself. What's going on there?
Yeah, so I think there's a subliminal question that sits there that says, what's wrong with you?
Is it what's wrong with you or why doesn't she need us? Maybe why doesn't she need me? Or why don't they need me?
There's something wrong with her.
Okay.
So what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you that you can't bear to be in the company of other people? And there's a whole script around that. Or what's wrong with you that nobody wants to be in your company?
Okay.
So there's a sense of kind of rejection, isolation, and hence the word alone tends to then be synonymous or equated with lonely. Mm. Because it kind of flies against the grain of people as social beings.
Okay.
And it becomes an affront to that social script.
Mm.
It's so iconoclastic that people wonder, why would you do that?
And then depending on the person
and of
observing.
Course, the spinster.
Okay, go
the
ahead.
Spinster. The spinster as opposed to a bachelor. Totally different scripts.
Mm.
Totally different connotation. A guy who's a bachelor, there's a lightness, there's a freedom to it. There's license in being the bachelor. And yet, spinster, totally different connotation. Left on the shelf. Miss Havisham.
I can madly call, see, why is she alone? I don't want her at my family events. I'm just being silly. But of course, there's also the, depending on the person who's watching and their inferiorities or whatever they're projecting, why does she think she must think she's better than us,
absolutely.
This one.
Yes, aloof. A cut above.
Sure. But Kosi, to get to the heart of what we're unpacking today, when you are a person that understands that being alone somehow serves you, being alone is good for you, or being alone is what you require, whether it's from a relationship state, whether it's to do with your relationship status, whether it's to do with someone who is in a relationship or who is highly sociable and has a healthy network of people, but you also understand that actually what saves me is my weekends alone or my holidays alone or my afternoons alone. What is happening in alone time? Right, in that time spent alone, that is good for an individual. What are the opportunities there, and what's
the
happening?
The me time. And I, as you ask this question, what pops to my mind is Invitation. Oraya Mountain Dreamer, who is asking about it's a very deep existential ontological question, because it's an opportunity for introspection around the self. For the self, as opposed to the self for others.
Sure.
And it asks the question that she puts as, something akin to, who am I when all others and all else falls away? Who am I to myself? What do I want? Because what that does is that being part of others, the social other, there is also a dilemma of it may very well come at the expense of authenticity, very well become performative, and people who feed on validation from others and thereby don't validate ourselves.
Okay.
And become external focus, that locus of control. If people don't approve of me, I don't approve of myself. We become alienated from ourselves and become performative, live the script of others, and thereby become absent landlords for ourselves. And so it is a very important time. If you want to talk about personal growth as a person, it won't happen in the absence of alone time, me time. That time is also important for another important part of our lives, and it is creativity.
Okay.
It expands us. It expands our mental capacity, our creative juices, our sense of imagination, which is an inherent power we have as human beings, which may get stifled in the presence of others. And I'm a living example of that, because when I went to live in Tsusue, the 5 years I spent there, I lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would go home. I was in a game reserve, living alone. And 3 years later, we moved to the outskirts of town, and everybody would go home. And I would be left there with myself. And that's why, for me, the difference is so important. Maybe subtle, but critical, between I am alone with myself, not by myself. Because I lived the experience of the value of my presence in my own life. And through that time, I was able to discover a creativity and unleash a creativity in me that I never even knew existed. Mm-hmm. I started making jewelry out of wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold that, and I wear it still. And there is never a moment when I wear it and nobody asks about it. And you won't find it anyway. And mm-hmm. I never had ever thought about that.
Sure.
But it is something that unfolded, and it took that time, that combination of dynamics in being with myself to be able to get to that space. Mm.
You know, as you talk about the benefits of alone time and what it means for personal growth, for creativity, for development, yeah. It almost sounds pretty much akin to, you know, how we talk about the importance of sleep. There's a renewal, there's a repair that's happening. Yes. There is updates if you want to talk about computer speak, you know, computer speak, the updates that are happening, there's a recharging that's happening that you're not necessarily always aware of and able to quantify. Yeah. Kosi, when it comes to alone time in the time of social media or smartphones, rather, not social media.
Oh, my goodness.
What have you noticed, especially in your professional work, but also alone time in the time of COVID-19 and social distancing and quarantining and, you know, people keeping their distance? How's that changed the texture of alone time and our understanding of it?
Yeah, that's quite a loaded question. So let's look, for example, at COVID. So, you know, we've kind of been thrown into a dilemma of, on the one hand, we were suddenly told isolate.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a kind of knee-jerk reaction to a threat, right? We hadn't anticipated this, and it became an overhaul of life as we have known it.
Mm-hmm.
And it became an affront to ourselves, our sense of space, our sense of who we are, what we do. It literally took control out of our hands, and we were at the mercy of some voices out there that told us, do this, do this. So on the one hand, then we became isolated from our life as we have known it, and we're then ironically confined to and suffocated with a group of people that you know, your family, for example, that you have otherwise had a respite from.
Sure.
And being able to go to the office and come back in the afternoon, right? There was an ebb and flow to our lives. And for people who live alone or are alone for the most time, going to the office perhaps gave them that social connection, and now finding themselves with themselves for an indefinite amount of time was, for some people, a period of rejuvenation, whereas some people couldn't cope with that. It was distressful, and it became a period of implosion on themselves.
Mm. So, I mean, are those dynamics, the unexpected nature of our isolation, of our quarantine, of our lockdown, but then I guess has it put an additional sort of dread around being alone? Because for so many people, it happened, it was a protracted period where, as you said, they hadn't anticipated it. And has being alone for too many people been framed as something agonizing?
I'm loath to say, you know, there's an umbrella way to it, because even in being thrust into that aloneness, we are all so different in that universal experience, in that mm-hmm. common experience, right? But it it meets us where we are as human beings. So all of us have our own unique experience of that general experience that everyone is going through.
Sure.
And we navigate that in accordance with those singularities of nuances of ourselves. So, so on the one hand, while it may have been difficult, we felt thrown into this aloneness. Depending on the meaning that we weaved and not found but created as constructionists of our own lives and meaning that we give to things, it for many people has turned out to be a blessing in disguise, a gift they didn't even realize they needed and could benefit from.
Yeah.
People have taken the time to reflect, to ask themselves deep and pivotal questions around their lives, around what matters. People have asked themselves about this treadmill. Why am I doing this? Do I need this? How much do I really need? You know, and it's been a time for people to declutter their lives, to be able to gain the necessary distance, to reflect, for example, on their relationships, friendships. And the relationship they have with their partners, for example. How is this working for us, really? When we find ourselves in this space, what does it mean? Does it mean it has actually been held together by the ability to get away from each other because actually we can't stand each other? And there are truths that people have had to confront about themselves and in relation to themselves and other people in their lives.
Yeah. So, aloneness in the time of social media, obviously it's a little insidious. It creeps up on you, right? How often you use your smartphones and what your smartphone and what you're using it for. There's that opportunity to also escape via that rabbit hole and not be by yourself, even though you or with yourself, even though you are alone.
And again, you know, it's the dialectic, and we need to recognize that the dialectic, that it's not just one or the other. It cuts both ways, and it is about how conscious are we of our relationship with ourselves in this particular circumstance. So what I'm saying is, you know, social media has been the most important resource on a level that we have had to navigate this time.
Of course.
Because if you compare to perhaps previous pandemics, I don't know, whenever they say they were 1800s or whatever, and think about being isolated in the absence of a phone, in the absence of any news, any information of what's going on out there, or how other people are doing, wherever, where are they, how are they doing? The distress of having to figure those things out in the absence of information. And now, thankfully, because we are in this era of social media and technology that allows us to connect physical distance and yet be able to maintain social connection of sorts, right? However, again, here's the other dilemma. It is exactly that this can become the weapon against yourself, because it can then serve to distract. You know, the one question I often ask in workshops is how often people, the minute they open their eyes, reach for a phone or a, what do you call this thing, that's remote, or the TV or radio or something. And my question becomes, how eager are you to hear other people's thoughts and opinions before you have even listened to your own?
And I think the resounding response you get is very eager.
Indeed.
All too eager. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And it is that thing of being performative, being absent. Our own selves. And needing to fill ourselves with the outside. And therefore, it says that we have higher regard for what other people think than we have for our own thoughts.
Sure. Kosi, if anyone's wondering, really quickly, we've got a minute. If anyone's wondering if perhaps they do need to spend some alone time, or, you know, just hasn't thought about it or been intentional about it, rather, signs that, yeah, you could stand to do this, and in fact, you need this. What might you say those would be?
Yeah, I think there are a few things that might be an indication, but it will only become an indication if you are paying attention.
Okay.
To how do you feel in the absence of others? Do you feel emptied in the absence of others, and therefore go into the presence of others with an empty cup that others need to fill, in the presence of which you become desperately depleted?
Mm.
Or do you go into the space of others with your cup full? Different.
Very different.
Altogether. Yeah. And it's maybe also, how are you in the company of other people? Do you lose yourself in and dissipate into other people's thoughts, opinions, approval of you? Or are you able to remain authentic while also accommodating the presence of other people?
Sure.
Do you struggle, perhaps, you know, with your moods, both in the presence or absence of? All those may be telltale signs that perhaps something is amiss in that relationship with yourself that is as important as your relationship to others. And those two need to balance.
We're going to leave it on that note, Kosi. Thank you so much for your insights as per usual. If you'd like us to tackle any specific topic or issue with Kosi on a Sunday morning, do drop me an email, rufilwe@702.co.za. Really wise words, Kosi, and words to live by. I hope you found those useful.